help us to commence with hymn 983. Spirit of truth, come down, reveal the things of God. O make to us salvation known, and witness with the blood. 983.
From the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, the 3rd and the 4th chapters. The 3rd and the 4th chapters of Paul's Epistle to the Philippians. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, but have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together with me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Odius, I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, but other my fellow labourers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. And now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Gracious and eternal God, once again we approach thee in the mercy seat and seek thy face. Thou wouldst indict prayer in our hearts as we come to thee this night and seek thyself. Thou hast looked down upon us. Thou hast been with us. thou hast blessed thy holy word of truth, and use it to thy honour and glory. We seek, Lord, for fruit, the fruits of the Spirit, to be manifested in the congregation, thy name to be honoured and glorified in the hearts of sinners. Thou hast promised, I will work, and who shall let it? Gracious God, we come to thee in all our need. How much we need thee in preaching and in hearing. We need thy holy word, Lord, to be applied in our hearts with its healing and mercy and benefits. We need a word with power from thy own lips. We need life in our souls, even the life of thy Spirit. We need understanding and wisdom to be given to us. We need faith, that heavenly gift. Lord, we need grace to be enabled to trust in thee at all times. We need, Lord, grace to lean hard upon thee, to roll every burden upon thee, and gracious God, to be still at thy mercy seat and know that thou art God, that God who changest not, who art ever faithful. Lord, we confess our unbelief, how vast it is. Confess that we often distrust thee. But oh, we would find that rest of living faith, that anchor in thyself, that good hope through grace. We read of it in thy word, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, gendereth into that within the veil. Lord, we pray for thy work here. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. May there be teaching. Bless the ministry of thy holy word through the lips of thy sent servants. Use it again and again. Lord, thy dear people need feeding. Thou knowest they do. Thou hast promised to provide them with that bread of heaven, even thy holy word. And dear Lord, that when applied in the heart with divine power, gives strength to run the race that is set before us, strength to press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, strength to wrestle on toward heaven, mid storm and wind and tide. Lord, we pray that thy kingdom may come, that thy will may be done in earth as it is in heaven. We thank thee that the government is upon thy shoulders, that thou dost rule and reign in Zion. Lord, we thank thee that thou art sovereign, and that thy sovereign grace is manifest in Zion. We pray, Lord, it may be so again and again. Look down upon us. Help us to look back over the way and remember all the way the Lord our God hath led us. Lord, help us to look forward, as thy dear servant did, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forth unto those things that are before. I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we live in a day of small things. It is a day, Lord, that we read of in thy holy word, when there shall come a great falling away. We've lived to witness it in this land and in our ministry in the churches. If you come to thy solemn feast, what lack of hunger there is in the churches. But, O Lord, we pray that thou strengthen thy servants to declare the whole counsel of God, that the seed sown may bring forth fruit in days to come. We read the husband who hath long patience and waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. We pray for thy workmanship, that which will stand in that great day, when thou dost reveal and open the secrets of every heart, what thou hast said to each soul, what thou hast spoken with power. Lord, that will stand. And oh, we pray that thou would come and work in this congregation, among these people, Lord, that thy name might have all the honour and the glory. We pray that there may be fruit, manifestly so. Come to the ordinance of thy house, dear Lord, this night once again. Thou hast gathered a church. We pray thou wouldst increase it. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst work, and that there may be that joy which is known among the angels of God in heaven, to be known in the church of God in this earth, over one sinner that repented. There may be those who shall be brought, taught by thy Spirit, moved by thy grace, called out of nature's darkness, brought to thy mercy seat, brought to know thee, and to be found in him, not having their own righteousness, which is of the law, but his, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. And dear Lord, we seek that thou wouldst bless thy servants this night, as they stand up in thy holy name, wherever they are in this whole world. We can truly ask to thee this night, wherever thou hast sent a man, bless his labour. But Lord, time fast moves on with each one of us. Eternity hastens toward us. And dear Lord, we seek that preparation in our heart, so we may be made ready to stand before thy face. We pray, gracious God, once again, that raise up and send forth other labourers in thy holy name. Thank thee for those thou hast sent out, young ones, recently, in recent years. The Lord, many of thy servants have passed the allotted span of life. And we beseech thee, for they will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. We beseech thee, Lord, that thou wouldst work and raise up those whom thou hast eternally ordained to the work. And to tell thy dear servant Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee and ordained thee a prophet. Dear Lord, we pray in the churches in this solemn day in which we are living. And we are beginning to see the hatred of a godless, atheistic world towards the truth manifesting itself upon the surface in our land. Oh, we beseech thee that thou wouldst look down upon the rising generation and thy living family in the land, and that thou wouldst grant grace to stand in this evil day, and having done all to stand. Lord, it is thy will that thy church shall know that hatred which thou didst know thyself. They hated him, we read, without a cause. Lord, we have felt it in our own lives, the hatred of a godless world. We find it growing about us. Hatred of the truth, hatred of the scriptures, hatred of thy holy law. We see it creeping into our laws and parliament. Deep, dark evils, which thy holy word describes an abomination. We see it, Lord, in the murder of the infants in the womb. Oh, the darkness and the evil and the promiscuity pervades the nation. Gracious God, thy spirit is much withheld. We have been favoured in this godless land in generations past, the great outpouring of thy Holy Spirit on the foolishness of preaching. And dear Lord, we pray we may yet be favoured in days to come, the turning of the great tides of darkness, the stemming of the floods of evil that are pouring over our land. But Lord, we cannot but feel we are living in the last time. All the signs are about us. Men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Knowledge shall increase. Many shall go to and fro throughout the earth. Scripture speaks of these solemn signs, and with it the great falling away. But Lord, we know in thy holy word there are other prophecies. We pray for thy ancient chosen people, that they may yet be brought, as thy word says they will be, to know that outpouring of thy spirit, and, Lord, to be grafted again, that the veil may be taken from their eyes, and that, Lord, we may see an outpouring of thy spirit in that land where the eyes of the great nations are and where there is such conflict rising constantly. Lord, look down, we pray then, and work by thy Holy Spirit. May thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We return once again now to the congregation this night. Apply thy truth, we beseech thee, in the midst. Send out thy light and thy truth into the heart. Grant, gracious God, thy holy word may drop as the rain and as still as the dew. Grant, gracious God, that there may be a building up, the building of thy own right hand planting, that which shall stand in that great day, that thy holy name might have all the honour and the glory. Lord, we pray again for the prodigals. You would never forget them. Oh, grant, gracious God, that there may be a turning again to their father's house. And gracious God, we pray for thy dear children. Oh, that they may ever be kept. Realize the solemn nature of Satan, who goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be to them a wall of fire round about, and a glory in the midst. O grant thy keeping and caring mercy. Lord, look down there. Satan moves in the churches, and we are conscious of it. But we pray that, Lord, thou wouldst move by thy mighty power. May there be many a brand plucked out of the burning. And gracious God, look down and gather others in this church, in this village here. Lord, may there be a light shining, not hidden, set on a hill. May thy holy name have all the honour and the glory. May there be those brought in from outside, gathered in. Leave us not to be ashamed of thee and this sinful and adulterous generation, but may we ever be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within us with fear and trembling. Leave us not. Grant us those opportunities in life's pathway to speak a word in thy holy name. Lord, look down upon our government. Pray for the Queen, the Royal Household, Prime Minister, his Cabinet, our Parliament. Lord, we live in solemn days. Evil pervades our whole political system. We're conscious of it. But oh, we pray in the coming election, they would yet raise up God-fearing men in our National Assembly. We believe, Lord, there have been some. But Lord, we have seen it in the past. Godly men, raise some more up, we pray thee. And oh, grant that there may be, Lord, a voice and a witness heard in our National Assembly. For thy judgments are heavily upon us. We are morally bankrupt as a nation. We are spiritually bankrupt. And we are financially bankrupt. And Lord, thou seest the darkness. O grant in the hearts of thy dear living family, there may be indeed, as we believe there is, a sighing and a crying for the abominations done in the land. Help us now to fall into thy hands once again this night. Be to us, dear Lord, all that we stand in need of, as we stand between the living and the dead. O grant that thy holy word may be life-giving in the soul, and that there may be given a hearing ear, that thy word may be blessed. Lord, touch our lips, that thy coal from thy heavenly altar fill our earthen vessel, as we seek the anointing of thy Spirit once again, and ask every mercy and the pardon and forgiveness of every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 604. Why should a pilgrim grope within and judge by what he feels? A loathsome stench of death and sin no consolation yields. 604.
Seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to Paul's epistle to the Philippians, reading from the 3rd chapter and the 12th verse. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, reading from the 3rd chapter and the 12th verse. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Words that rested upon my mind as the last clause of this verse, if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. There is the putting forth of the mighty hand of God in the hearts of those he has eternally loved to apprehend them. There is a power that apprehends them, arrests them, stops them, halts them, calls them effectually. Who among you tonight has any hope that God has apprehended you? It speaks of a beginning. It speaks of a good foundation. This apostle knew what he was speaking about. The Lord had stopped him. He had spoken with power in his life. He had called him by his grace. He had heard the voice of his God. He was separated. Separated from the world, separated from false religion. Separated to Christ. And as we spoke this morning, found in him. Brought to know him. You can be certain of one thing, that if you're not apprehended of Christ, you are lost. You need him to call you by his grace. We may have a religion that will not stand in that great day when we have to give an account. A false hope. A vain hope. One that will stand is the work of God. One that will stand is a divine hand that is put forth. Search your hearts. Has God spoken? Has God called you? Have you heard his voice? Do you know that mighty hand? Why, the Lord loves his church in eternity past. We sang it this morning. Chosen of God, ere time began, I do choose thee in return. We read in Scripture of that call by grace, the mighty, effectual call of God, known in the souls of his dear people. There's power in it. It is not a voice like the fire or the wind or the earthquake that Elijah heard. It was the still, small voice of God that called him and called him to himself. It had a gracious effect in his heart. It brought him before God, to hear the voice of God and to know that in his soul. It was not the first time he had known it. But the Lord had begun with him, we know not where. We see him at Brook Cherith, and the Lord providing for him. We see him on Carmel, and again the Lord providing for him. He was a apprehended character. God, by his Spirit, had wrought in his soul and produced that blessed fruit. Apostle Paul here is looking at the end of this blessed work, this effectual call by grace. And he speaks of it here not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after. There was a pathway to be walked down. There was a searching pathway. There was a pathway in which the Lord was to teach him. The pathway in which he was to be brought to trust in his God. He knew that life's pathway was to be a conflict, and that in it, as we read here from his lips, he was to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There was to be a growth in grace and in a knowledge of Christ Jesus, his Lord. There was to be wrestling prayer. There was to be conflict. There was to be this path of sanctification which he had to walk out, not as though I had already attained. Oh, that ordered footsteps of God's dear people. There will never be an end to that pressing toward the mark until we are brought to that place where we come to the end of the journey and we attain to what the apostle speaks of here. He speaks of those things which he desires to apprehend himself. I count not myself, he says, to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those that things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize. The Lord had apprehended him. The Lord had called him. The Lord had stopped him. And now he wrestled with his God to know and have in his own heart his title clear to mansions in the skies. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Look into your souls and ask yourselves tonight, am I made a real Christian? Washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the Church's living head? Do I know him as we spoke this morning? Am I found in him? Have I known the mighty power of God? Do I know what it is to be effectually called out of nature's darkness? Have I been truly separated? It is a blessed work that the Lord begins. It is a work of sovereign grace, and it is a pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that I might know him. Oh, to know him, to know his blessed benefits, the benefits and blessings of Calvary's cross. To know what it is to be brought to his mercy seat as a poor sinner. Stopped, halted, broken. In contrition and godly sorrow and repentance. We may have much religion. We may have a name to live and be dead. We need the Lord to manifest his power in our lives. We need him to come again and again. We need him to teach us. We need him to lead us. We need him to hold us, to uphold us. We need him in all his mighty power to be with us. And oh, what a mercy lies here. It is in sovereign grace, undeserved, unmerited, that the Lord comes to apprehend his dear people. Left to themselves, they would wander on in this dark, evil world. Left to themselves, they would be like his apostle as he walked out that solemn path of hatred to God's church and his people. The Lord apprehends his dear people in sovereign grace, apprehends them in love and mercy. He plucks them, as it were, as brands from the burning. He delivers them from their own evil hearts and fallen natures. He calls them to himself and to his mercy seat. And when he calls them, he has a prepared way for a prepared people. He will lead them in the burden of their sin and evil of their heart to his mercy seat. He will lead them into a knowledge of his precious blood and righteousness. The prize. Is there any greater prize in this world than the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? It is the exercise and concern of every one of his dear church to know that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. His dear church is a tried people, a tempted people. Yet, a blessed people. A people whom the Lord is with. A people of whom he has said, as he did to Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. A people to whom he has spoken, yea, I have loved thee with everlasting love. Yes, like the Lord's servant Jeremiah, a sorrowful people. We read in the prophecy of Jeremiah regarding those apprehended ones, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrow, has taught by his Spirit and led to see themselves in the light of his countenance. They are brought into deep sorrow and mourning of heart. Surely, they say, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. They are speaking, apprehended, but he was wounded for our transgression. How blessed that is, to be brought to have a hope in the blood and righteousness of the eternal Son of God, to know that washing over our hearts and souls, be brought as penitent, broken-hearted sinners to his mercy seat. These are the apprehended ones. What do they want to apprehend? Christ, formed in their heart as the hope of glory. They want to know him as their Saviour. Oh, how the apostle had a desire, you might say, in this epistle here, in this chapter, he says that I might know him. One would think, in considering the way the Lord had apprehended him, he did know him on the road to Damascus. There was so much more he wanted to know. So much he desired to enter into. So much he longed to experience. And he wished to apprehend. a knowledge of Christ Jesus, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, dead in trespasses and sins. When the Lord apprehends one of his dear children, they have some knowledge of the power of his resurrection that brings them out of nature's darkness into his marvellous light, and that brings them to his mercy seat as beggars. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord apprehends a poor sinner. Life is changed. There is a change of heart. A new heart is given. There are new desires. And here is one of them. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All other things are counted but loss for a knowledge of Christ Jesus his Lord. What an example this apostle is of the pathway of God's dear children. And I have said here, there's a conflict in their pathway. They are tried and tempted. The apostle shows it in his letter to the church at Rome in the 7th chapter. That inward conflict. Why, you might think, yes, he knew Christ. Was there no more conflict? Well, the 7th of Romans shows that conflict. He says, that which I do I allow not, what I would that I do not, what I hate that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And then this, for I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is right I find not. For the good that I would I do not, the evil which I would not that I do. And then he comes to this. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? There was a conflict. Oh, how he was brought in that conflict to desire that he might know Christ as his God, his Saviour, his Redeemer, and know his power in his heart. He could see the way, and he could see that in his own soul, Christ was the only one who could deliver him in this conflict and bring him forth from it. There's only one way. Oh, when we are apprehended of Christ Jesus, as this apostle was, it was to come into a life of conflict. He speaks in other places of that conflict, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto honour and glory and praise at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And the pathway of those who are apprehended is a pathway of exercise, trial and concern, as we spoke of Job this morning. The path the Lord brought him in was to bring him to himself, was to empty of him himself, bring him down to that solemn knowledge of his own soul and his ruined condition, and there to bring him to himself that he might apprehend that for which he was apprehended of Christ Jesus. When the Lord stops a poor sinner in his pathway and calls him to his mercy seat, it is that he might walk in this life and grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus his Lord. And it is in that bitter conflict that is the pathway of every one of God's dear tried and tempted church that they're brought to apprehend. What a blessed thing it is to apprehend Christ. It means this, you see, they have a good home. Eventually, they wrestle with God. The apostle desired to have that blessed hope in his heart raised up. Again and again, he wanted the Lord to reveal himself to him. He wanted to know him near and to know his blessed presence in his heart. He wanted the Lord to draw near. I wonder how many there are of you here tonight who have been apprehended, young and old, of Christ Jesus. He has come to you. He has called you. He has stopped you. He has wrought a mighty change in your heart. Now you seek not the things of this world. You desire not the things of this world. Your primary concern is to apprehend him, to have a sweet hope that he died for you, that on the cross he shed his blood from sin to set you free. The Lord has begun. There's a beginning, there is teaching, there is a direction in the way, there is grace given to wrestle with God as there was to Jacob, and there is an obtaining the prize. We read in the case of Jacob, he blessed him there. He apprehended. Oh, we shall only apprehend Christ as he reveals himself to us. He comes into our pathway and our needs. Job apprehended Christ in a path of great wrestling. The Lord apprehended him, but he apprehended Christ in much prayer, wrestling prayer. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. I come even to his seat. And the Lord drew near. Then he could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. No worms destroy this body. It is apprehending faith. To have faith in the eternal Son of God. There is a wrestling. And there is an obtaining of the prize. This Job knew. And he could say, the end of his book, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now, mine eye seeth thee. I've apprehended. I know thee. And you know, whilst he writes like this to the church at Philippi, he writes in other places of that blessed apprehension. For me, he says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And finally, in his last letter to Timothy, he says, I am now ready to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. What a word that is, perfect. In God's sight, what do we mean by perfect? You know, when we look at it, it is to be stripped of ourselves, all fleshly religion. It is to be brought down as our fallen, ruined conditions before a holy God. It is to come to his mercy seat and to know, as we've spoken today, that precious blood upon our hearts and consciences and to be clothed in that spotless righteousness. Read in the book of the Revelation of the Bride of Christ, Church of God. The bride has made herself ready, and to her was given she should be arrayed in fine linen, white and clean, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. This is the place of God's dear church, to be brought to know this fountain open for sin and all uncleanness, and to have this precious robe of righteousness. For me to live is Christ. This is what the apostle meant as he spoke in this way. He had wrestled on toward heaven. He had fought a good fight. And he had attained, oh, the perfection that God demands if you and I are ever to stand in his own presence. All our righteousness, filthy rags, it has to be burned up. The apostle speaks of the foundation. Can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus? If any man lay other foundation, wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. Oh, when we look at the gold, silver, and precious stones, what a blessed work it is of God. It is a divine work. It is only that which will stand in that great day. Not as though I had already attained. Is that where you feel you are tonight? Great mercy if that is so. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but oh, are you pressing toward the mark? But, says the apostle, I press toward the mark. Follow after. Same words. I follow after. Are you following after? Are you wrestling with God in prayer? Are you seeking? Promises are very clear. They that seek shall find. Scripture speaks in these tones. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. It is the Lord's desire that his dear people should seek. Search the scriptures. Seek for him. To know him. The blessed path to follow after. There is an exercise and concern in it. As dear children that are following after, seeking to obtain, are earnest in their petitions and desires. Their cries go out to him. And one thing is very clear, and that is this. They cannot rest until they attain. Until they obtain this blessed prize. They have no peace. They cannot be satisfied short of this blessed prize that is here. The apostle longed to be brought safely through. And to be landed. And he knew in eternal bliss. And he knew the pathway was a pathway of wrestling prayer. Brethren, I came not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Look into your own heart. Scripture is very clear. The way is accurately described here. Do we press toward the mark? Do we long to apprehend? Have we a hope that we've been apprehended of Christ? But has it placed in our souls a longing to be found in him? A longing to know him? A longing to hear his voice daily, constantly? Well, we have before us his holy word. We have the path of prayer. We have the ordinances of his house and the ministry of his holy word. But what true profit is there in them for our souls? They're the avenue, when rightly used, in which the Lord gives strength to his dear people to press toward the mark. They give to them a desire. They're the means of leading them and guiding them. The Lord uses them in his own will and purposes as the avenue of his grace. There is to be the reality of the knowledge of what it is to apprehend, if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. What a blessed conjunction there is here. God, in the purposes of his eternal covenant, apprehends his dear people. He calls them by his grace, separates them from this world, gives them fresh desires, earnest desires in their heart, and it is to know their title clear to mansions in the skies. It's to have a sweet hope sealed in their heart as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, and to have a sweet assurance that it'll be well when called to die. The Lord grants precious moments in his working out of his precious work in the souls of his dear church, when he draws near and speaks in their soul, applies his exceeding great and precious promises, and enables them to apprehend, have a blessed hope. One day they will be found with him. Oh, it is only those who are brought to feel their need as guilty sinners who will long to apprehend a Saviour, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the sick know the good physician. The work of God in the heart to reveal the solemn malady of sin is to bring a soul to his mercy seat, to seek that healing balm, even the blood of Jesus Christ, upon their heart and conscience. It's our mercy to be given a desire. It is our mercy to be given strength, grace, to wrestle with our God. Oh, the wrestling of a guilty soul at the mercy seat will be, as we spoke this morning, importunity. It will be like Jacob, I'll not let thee go, except thou bless me. And the Lord said to him, as a prince, hast thou power with God and hast prevailed. Lovely hymn, wrestling prayer. Can wonders do, bring relief in deepest straits? Prayer can force a barrier through iron bars and brazen gates. Job came to that place when he could truly say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He apprehended. Look into your own heart. Where are you tonight? Or where do you stand? Has the Lord given you new desire? hunger and thirst after his righteousness. Are you wrestling? Are you longing? The true acid test of the reality of prayer is whether his dear people pray until they obtain, like Jacob did. Are not, let thee go, except thou bless me. And the blessed reality of it is this, to have a hope that he has apprehended us and set us in this straight and narrow way that leads to life, that we may wrestle with him in prayer and find no rest like the dove did in Noah's day, until we find rest in the ark of God, in Christ Jesus himself. Oh, blessed mercy, if the Lord has set you in this way and set it in your heart, it will be tested and tried. Carnality, worldly mindedness will all creep in. Solemn things will creep in. But the Lord comes and draws near to his dear people and enables them to wrestle with himself and come like this dear apostle, press toward the mark. When we consider eternity, our immortal souls, and where we stand in the light of eternity, and our guilt and sin and filth upon heart and conscience, and have been brought to know and to see and to understand that our only hope of salvation is in obtaining this prize and wrestling with Christ, that he would pardon our iniquity. There are some words in the Psalms, and one of them is these: pardon mine iniquity, O Lord, for it is great. When the Lord indicts such prayer in our hearts, oh, to know the sweet inflowing, I believe it comes, a poor guilty sinner at God's mercy seat, the Lord draws near and comes and applies his precious blood in the heart. Then there is a knowledge of that little hymn, Law and Terrors, do but harden. All the while they work alone, but a sense of blood-bought pardon soon will melt a heart of stone, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Put these two together now tonight. Apostle understood it. Christ had apprehended his dear servant on the road to Damascus. He had a beginning. And he desired to apprehend that for which he had been apprehended of Christ Jesus. And the reason was this: the Lord had so taught him his own fallen, ruined nature, that he had brought him to feel his need of Christ, and his longing desire under a knowledge of his sinnership and his fallen condition was to know Christ as his Redeemer. Oh, is it yours? Has the Lord taught you in your heart and brought you to know what you are in his sight? I tell you, there will be ever increasing knowledge. We shall never get any better, only worse. We do not believe in progressive sanctification. Oh, the work of God's Spirit in the heart, if we have any knowledge of him, is to reveal sin. And the nearer we come to a never-ending eternity, the more we're deeply conscious of what we are in his sight. Fallen, ruined creatures. But to apprehend a Redeemer, a Saviour, a God who is able to save, who has prepared a way of salvation, to know it in our hearts, and to know that he is ours, and to have that sweet assurance, I know in whom I have believed. Oh, is that your desire, that you may come there and tell you this, you're in the right way, blessed way, to be brought to him and to seek and to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. What a mercy. What a favour. A divine favour to be set in that pathway and to be given a hunger and thirst after his righteousness and to be brought to him, to know him. We must know him in this life. We must come to him and wrestle with him. And then it will be to be with him. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Nothing in this world to be compared with it. Oh, the mercy of being apprehended. And oh, the mercy of being shown a solemn condition here, not as though I had already attained, either already perfect. We shall only see that as the Lord brings us to himself. And I believe the apostle had here a sweet desire that he might be kept in that straight and narrow way until he was brought to cross that Jordan of death into God's eternal kingdom. That was his dear servant's desire, and I believe he attained to it. And it is so with every one of his dear children. They're restless. They press toward the mark. They have an earnest case, but they have a God to go to. One who has conquered death, put away sin, and intercedes for them in the courts of heaven above. One who has sweet blessings to give them. And one of those blessings is grace to wrestle until the Lord bless them with a sweet sense of his love and blood in their souls and his pardoning mercy. I say to you here this evening, wrestle on toward heaven. Seek earnestly the best gift. Seek until you find. It is the acid test of whether it is true seeking, whether your religion is of the flesh or whether it is of God. If we wrestle and press toward the mark until we obtain that which we desire, which God has placed in our hearts, that desire, as the apostle said, that I might be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but his which is from above. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amount to £699, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Broom is expected to preach tomorrow at our anniversary services at 3 o'clock and 6:15. Tea will be provided and collections taken for our needy cases fund. And Mr. Broome is also expected to preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School in the afternoon. And there will be a church meeting on the 14th of May. Hymn 145. Christ exalted is our song, hymned by all the blood-bought throng. To his throne our shout shall rise, God with us by sacred ties. 145.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.